ladies and gentlemen, from the world's most beautiful city, San Francisco, California, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by Pasquale's Pizza, Don Pico's, and the Rib Shack.
Yes, sir. Happy days are here again.
Also brought to you by our new sponsor, Baystar Security Patrol.
You don't have to say anything and you don't have to do anything.
Carol's Meats, Midtown Market in Brisbane, California.
The sooner we're through, the sooner we'll be back in town drinking cold beer.
Brought to you by Route 66 Moving and Storage.
Go ahead. Make my day.
And the WBO.
Every night I went out there, I did it for them.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in history.
Believe me, when he climbs into the ring, he'll have the people falling in the aisles.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you'd like to see me take a dive, wouldn't you?
Pedro Fernandez.
Hail to the king, baby.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Yes, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I am the reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of the radio airways, folks. Heard twice weekly here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and, of course, the American Forces Network. Well, first up, HBO Sports CEO Ross Greenberg is out. Thank God. The guy was a joke. He went from the truck to being the boss at HBO. In other words, he was pushing buttons in the truck as far as going to camera 4 and camera 5 and bringing in this audio and bringing in this video. He went from that to being CEO simply because I think he was a good friend of his buddy Seth Abraham, the former CEO who had left and went to see Madison Square Garden. So straight up, HBO's got some changes happening. But unless they get rid of Sports Vice President Kerry Davis, sooner rather than later, the network is still headed towards doom. I mean, the networks are just, the ratings suck. They really do. And it's not fair because we've got great fights. Like tonight, Amir Khan, 25-1, taking on Zab Judah, 41-6, 28 KOs. We're going to talk with that about, we're going to talk with KP Kevin Perry about that in just a minute. We do have open phone lines coast to coast, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, and these are the sounds of East Bay Soul.
When famous people or regular folks are in San Francisco, they all go to one place when they want great ribs. It's the famous Rib Shack in San Bruno, California. With an organic array of ribs, meats, and chicken, the world-famous Rib Shack, located at 223 El Camino Real, that's a half mile south of Highway 380 in San Bruno, is where the president and his crew eat. And anytime baseball legend Dusty Baker is in town, he too makes sure that the famous Rib Shack is on his agenda. And when we throw a party here at the Sports Byline Studios, the famous Rib Shack has supplied us with the world's best ribs. You can order online anytime at FamousRibShack.com or give them a call at 650-952-2809. Now remember, you don't have to be the president to get the best ribs in the world. Just stop by the famous Rib Shack at 223 El Camino in San Bruno. Check out the FamousRibShack.com website. The famous Rib Shack, San Bruno, California, a proud sponsor of Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
For nearly a quarter century, Mike Carroll of Carroll's Meats, Fish, Poultry, and Deli in Brisbane, California, has been our family's meat man. Located at 249 Visitation, Mike Carroll and his crew are experts when it comes to beef, pork, fish, poultry, and of course, their deli sandwiches are an internet rave of Yelp.com. So if you're tired of prepackaged meats, and like me, prefer to watch the butcher cut a steak just how you like them, then stop by Carroll's Meats located at 249 Visitation in Brisbane, California for beef, pork, fish, poultry, and a fine deli, plus a great catering service. Mike Carroll of Carroll's Meats, Fish, Poultry, and Deli in Brisbane, California.
When you're in Brisbane, come by Carroll's Meats. Have a nice tri-tip sandwich.
Give Mike a call at 415-467-3007. That's Carroll's Meats, Fish, Poultry, and Deli at 415-467-3007.
Pizza.
Before we get back to any more of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, don't forget the website, 24/7 on the web, ringtalk.com, your inside look into the world of boxing.
All over the country, pizzerias duke it out for supremacy. Pasquale's Pizza and Italian Food, located at the corner of 8th and Irving in San Francisco, is the undisputed heavyweight champ when it comes to pizza, steaks, salads, as well as an outstanding menu of Italian food. Run by the same family for over 50 years, Pasquale's has cultivated customers with a half century of fine dining and service. Open 7 days a week, Friday and Saturday until 1 a.m., Pasquale's has developed an impeccable reputation for their fine food. There's only one heavyweight champion when it comes to Italian food in the city by the bay, and we hope that when you visit San Francisco, you find out for yourself just how good Pasquale's is. In San Francisco, they offer delivery and can be reached at 415-661-2140, and they're also available for private parties or for catering your next banquet. The next time you're in the Bay Area, stop by Pasquale's, located in the Sunset District at the corner of 8th and Irving, and see for yourself why Pasquale's is the undisputed heavyweight champion when it comes to pizzas, steaks, and a fine array of Italian food. Pasquale's Pizza and Italian Food, a proud sponsor of Pedro Fernandez and Ring Talk Worldwide.
And you know who never gets a death penalty? Are crazy people and mentally ill people. Anybody who's got a problem, like a Jeffrey Dahmer. Remember that guy? Was it 4 or 5 years ago? Dahmer was eating a lot of people. And they never gave him the death penalty because he was ruled insane. What a surprise. But if a guy's crazy, that's the defense in America. He doesn't know what he did. He cannot be held responsible for his actions. Well, if he doesn't know what he did, then he doesn't know we're going to kill him. The guy's that crazy. You put the guy in the electric chair, we'll tell him it's a ride.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on.
The sounds of the Super Stroke Land Band. Variation of Tower of Power and Huey Lewis in the News. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Speaking of MMA, big MMA news coming up in about 15 minutes with our man Slamming Sammy Perez. Now we go to the City of Angels and bring in my Los Angeles correspondent, the one, the only, KP Kevin Perry. What's up, big KP?
Nothing much, man. It's a nice Saturday and always blessed to be in Los Angeles.
No, I don't know. Always blessed to be in Los Angeles. That depends on where you're from. But the bottom line is you're in L.A. Big fight tonight in Vegas, of course. Zab Judah, what is he now? He's got 6 losses against almost 40 wins, and he's taking on Amir Khan, 25-1, 17 KOs. Something's got to give here. Either Amir Khan's exposed as for not being what we thought he is, or Zab Judah's being...
I think Amir Khan's already been exposed for what he is. He is a very good fighter, but he's been exposed as a guy that can't really... He's got a lot of heart, but he doesn't have the best chin. So in that sense, he's been quite exposed.
Well, you know, as an amateur, he was the amateur prodigy, and they all went after him. I mean, all the British promoters, even some of the United States promoters went after him when he turned pro after the, I think, 2000 Olympics. They thought he was going to be the star, the heir apparent to greatness. It just didn't happen. And then he turned pro and was knocked out in the blink of an eye by Brayton Prescott. I think it was about 7 or 8 fights ago. And, you know, things just haven't been the same for Mr. Khan since. Now, his name is Amir Khan, A-M-I-R-K-H-A-N. And I call him Amir Khan, A-M-E-R-E-C-O-N. Which is right?
I don't know. It depends on what your perception is. The thing with Amir Khan that it's part of what's the problem with boxing nowadays is they anoint these guys as superstars before they actually prove it in the ring. And I think with Amir Khan, I think something that people forget, I know people jump all over him because of the first-round knockout loss to Brayden Prescott, but people fail to realize he'd been knocked down numerous times before that in fights against journeyman-type fighters and setup fighters, and it didn't really look all that spectacular doing so against some of these other opponents when he's still fighting in England. So, I mean, the guy's got a lot to prove. As far as victories are concerned, his best victory is probably over Marcos Maidana in a fight in the 10th round where most referees, I think, probably would have stopped that fight after about 20 or so unanswered blows. And then he won a close decision that one. Then he beat Pauly Malignaggi, a guy who's a pretty good boxer but really doesn't pose a threat because he can't punch. And then he beat Marco Antonio Barrera in a fight where Barrera was pretty much out of the fight after the second round because of a bad cut, and they let the fight continue past four rounds so Khan could get a somewhat disputed victory.
Well, that was a joke in itself, because he was cut so bad early they should have stopped the fight right then and there, but they let the fight go four rounds just so they could put a victory in Amir Khan's pocket. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of it's a disservice to Amir Khan, who should actually get to fight Marco Antonio Barrera at his best. Instead, he got to fight a guy with basically a crimson mask of blood on him for four rounds.
Okay. Now, Zab Judah, 41-6, 28 KOs. Where does Zab go? I mean, how does Zab attack Amir Khan tonight? Is it going to be a boxing match? Does he go for a kill? Does he move in and try to work and do some effective body work? I mean, what's going to be Zab Judah's MO tonight?
It's really hard to say, because in one part of my mind, I feel that the reason why Zab that Khan has a much better chance of winning is because Khan throws a lot more punches. He's busier. He's probably going to be the guy coming forward. And if Zab Judah can't knock him out, then he doesn't really have a chance to win a decision. But at the same time, because Zab Judah is a pretty crafty fighter, and it's kind of hard for a fighter to change his style at this stage in his career, he's probably going to have to be the counterpuncher and sit back and wait for Khan to make mistakes, hopes he lands a big shot, and possibly get him out of there. Because I just can't really see Zab Judah outboxing Amir Khan when Amir Khan is a guy who throws a lot of punches. And Zab Judah is normally a guy who kind of he casts out of fights. He fights well in the first four or five rounds. And after that, he kind of goes through the motions, or he loses focus. So hopefully, I think Pernell Whitaker might be a factor here, because I think Zab Judah's his father, Yoel Judah, just wasn't really the best trainer in the sense of, or actually, he's probably a pretty good trainer, but not really the best corner man.
Okay, well, what about the Victor Conti part of this? Where is Conti supplying the nutritional supplements, monitoring his diet? He's got him working on these oxygen machines as far as these high-altitude training and all that kind of good stuff. I think that's been a plus for guys like Robert Guerrero. It's been a plus for Nonito Donaire. It's been a plus for Andre Ward. I mean, I think that you've got to figure in the Conti factor here too as well.
All right, I think definitely. But the thing is here also is Amir Khan is an excellent conditioned, well-conditioned athlete. And I think that's going to be a huge factor also. So it is very good that Judah seems to be a little bit more focused on being at his best in the ring, and not just skill-wise, but from a physical standpoint. I think that's really going to give him a better chance of winning the fight. This is an intriguing bout just because there's a lot of intangibles here where you could see where the fight's going to go. If you were a betting man, you'd probably have to go with Amir Khan, but based on the odds, which I hear as wide as 4-1 in the favor of Khan, maybe if you had a little bit of money, like 20 or 50 bucks, you could go for Zab Judah, but he's just failed to deliver in a lot of the big fights. So there's always a question mark there for Zab.
You know, I watched Zab's last real big win. I thought it was his real big win when he beat Corey Spinks in St. Louis, Missouri, a few years ago, and I thought that was quite an upset to come in there and beat the defending champion on his home turf. That night, he seemed to be focused. He was at 147. Conti and Pernell Whitaker have got him down to 140 for this fight. His conditioning is good. He's live. He seems to be motivated. He realizes that after 15 years as a pro, he was part of the 1996 amateur team, that he realizes this is his last shot. You know, once in a while, an old guy can pull off an upset, and I'm sort of leaning. I'm going to lean the other way here. I'm going to lean towards Judah here. And the reason why I'm leaning towards Judah is that I think that Amir Khan is a Amir Khan, and the fact that I think that the British, they would sort of invest like in snow in Alaska when it comes to a fighter. I mean, it doesn't matter seemingly what a fighter can do over there, but as long as he's a fighter from Britain, he's God. And I really don't think Amir Khan has got that godly type of talent yet. I really just don't think so. And I think that Zab Judah is going to expose him for what he is tonight.
Well, it's funny you say that, because from what I hear, David A. was a favorite over Vladimir Klitschko in Britain in the betting. So
yeah, but see
where the British fans go with their betting prowess.
True, but you have to realize that when sports books, when they set up these odds, it all depends on where the money goes. In other words, you can say I could be a 2-1 favorite over you, and if everybody from L.A. and Southern California goes to Vegas and bets on you, all of a sudden you're going to be a 2-1 favorite over me. So a lot of that has to do with where the money's going. I mean, the money went on Hay. People thought Hay had a chance. Hay had no chance. At least, I mean, Hay had a good chance going in. We thought Hay was going to make a fight of it, but Hay just sort of shut up and collected his check. Talk about going from a big mouth to a mute. He did so instantly, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I just don't know what people were expecting for David Hay. I mean, he'd been knocked out against a 40-year-old version of Carl Thompson at cruiserweight. He'd been knocked down numerous times in his career. Also against Jean-Marc Mormeck. Guys that aren't really, well, Carl Thompson was a big puncher, but Mormeck wasn't really known for being the greatest fighter at cruiserweight ever or anything like that. But he was a pretty solid fighter. But he talked a good game, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do to get people interested in the fight. So, I mean, you got to give him credit for that. And then you got to give Klitschko credit for going and basically taking care of business, whether or not it was exciting. You know, he got paid $20 million or so, so you can't knock him for that.
No, you can't. We're talking with Kevin Perry, folks, at ringtalk.com. We do have open phone lines coast to coast, Canada, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Ross Greenberg being bounced out at HBO. That's a good thing, but Kerry Davis has got to go too. Do you agree with me on that? I mean, you can't. If you're going to throw out the,
it's kind of hard to say in the sense should he be canned also, because the question really is, who are they going to replace him with? And I think that's the major question. If they're going to replace him with some other guy who's incompetent, then no. Maybe they should let him stick it out and see if, it's possible that Kerry Davis is going to get promoted to Ross Greenberg's job, and then he might get somebody under him, and maybe he'll do a better job being in control. So it's really hard to say exactly what Kerry Davis is going to be able to do in this situation in comparison to the one that existed before.
Having known Mr. and Mrs. Kerry Davis for a number of years, now over a decade, I would say she's one of the most beautiful women I've ever met in my life. She's a nice lady. I think her name is Samantha. She's a beautiful, just a stunningly gorgeous woman. He and the family have been involved in national periodicals about his career and about him being an African-American, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is, you know, he's going to lunch. I mean, Ludabella used to go to weigh-ins. He goes to lunch during weigh-ins. I mean, Ludabella used to be their hands-on. Ludabella created the Boxing After Dark series. Can you tell me one significant thing that Kerry Davis has done in 11 years as vice president at HBO Sports besides watch your ratings plummet better than 30%?
I think he's given opportunities
to who? The
Al
guys,
Heyman, Al Heyman to give opportunities to certain fighters.
Wait, all right. I'm glad you brought up the incestuous relationship between he and Al Heyman. Both African Americans, okay? Al Heyman has got guys like Paul Williams in a rematch with Sergio Martinez, and Sergio Martinez is the reigning world middleweight champion, and yet he gets Paul Williams more money than he does Martinez. I mean, that and he
well,
got
actually, and actually for me to add to that insult to injury, I guess he could say, is what was so appalling about that was Martinez was the middleweight champion, and his name was announced first. Paul Williams came out last. Paul Williams' name was said last, which normally is, unless you're Larry Holmes against Terry Cooney, Paul Williams' name was said second, as would be normally the champion. And that is just absolutely disrespectful to a guy that earned the title. I mean, he wasn't handed a paper championship. He beat the man, so he was the man. And you know, he went out there and handled business. So at the end of the day, I think Martinez just put a big slap in the face of HBO and Al Heyman and whoever else was in the, you know, the pockets of Williams. So more power to him for being a real champion.
Good enough, KP, Kevin Perry of RinkTalk.com. We thank you for your work, sir.
All right, thanks a lot. Now, everybody have a beautiful weekend.
You're tuned to Rink Talk Live Worldwide. This is a cool cut from Tower of Power, the Monster on a Leash album back in the day with Tom Bowes on lead. It's called You Can't Fall Up, You Just Fall Down.
If you are in any trouble with the IRS, this message is for you. If the IRS is garnishing your wages, sending threatening letters, placed liens on your personal property, you still have rights. Ameristar Tax Centers wants to give you free information and a free consultation to show you how to save the maximum amount of money. Our expert team of tax professionals goes to work right away to negotiate the lowest payment possible. We'll represent you before the IRS or state taxing authority. Our results speak for themselves. So call us today for a free, no obligation, one-on-one consultation.
Be careful. The IRS can coerce you into paying more than you actually owe.
Ameristar is a certified member of the Tax Freedom Institute. We know your rights. We know how to get you maximum relief.
So call for free information now.
800-583-1974. 800-583-1974. Help is here. Call 800-583-1974.
Are you in need of an IRS tax bailout? Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals that specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. During these tough economic times, the IRS is looking for every penny they can get, and we know how to negotiate with them for you. We've settled millions of dollars of back taxes for a fraction of the cost. Call 800-390-9240 now and find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. Call IRS Tax Advisors at 800-390-9240 now. You still have time before the tax laws change. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. This single telephone call with one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals could save you thousands. Call IRS Tax Advisors at 800-390-9240. That's 800-390-9240. Important medical alert for Zoloft users. Recent reports link the use of the antidepressant drug Zoloft during pregnancy to heart or lung problems and significant birth defects. If you or a loved one use the antidepressant drug Zoloft before or during pregnancy, and you have a child dealing with heart or lung problems, club foot, limb reduction, or other birth defects, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation and future medical expenses for your child's condition. Call now for a free case evaluation, 800-274-4713. If you or a loved one use the antidepressant prescription drug Zoloft, time is limited to file a claim. Act now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-274-4713. That's 800-274-4713. Protect your legal rights today. Call 800-274-4713.
The attorney responsible for this advertisement is Carrie L. Steigerwalt, admitted in California, office address 4350 Executive Drive, Suite 150, San Diego, California, 92121. Cases may be referred to or independently handled by separate local counsel for principal responsibility.
Vitor, the most lethal hands when you speak quickness in UFC history.
The other thing I noticed in the Vanderlei Mike Van Arsdale fight was that Vanderlei Silva seemed to walk through Van Arsdale's punches, like to move forward. I don't know if he wants to do that with Vitor Belfort.
Vitor is wearing shoes, so he will not be able to strike with the feet. Oh, he does with the hands, though. Vitor Belfort is the winner. 44 seconds. The knockout by Vitor Belfort.
Check it. 30 minutes past the hour. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Time to talk MMA with our expert slamming Sammy Perez. What's up, Big Sam?
How you doing?
Doing just fine, man. Give me the big news in the world of MMA.
Well, as we noted, the big news this week has to do with Alistair Overeem and the Strikeforce Heavyweight Champion not being able to fight in the Strikeforce Heavyweight Tournament. The semifinals are set for September. He was originally scheduled to fight Antonio the Giant Silva, Bigfoot Silva, but he had to pull out because of a broken toe. He had asked that they push the fight back to October. Strikeforce was unwilling to do that. They had their schedule set, and so Alistair Overeem's out of that tournament, replaced by the alternate in the heavyweight tournament, Daniel Cormier.
Okay. You know, a lot of these Strikeforce guys now want to go over to the UFC, and the UFC has sort of made it particular, sort of making it clear that they're not going to be wanting guys from Strikeforce. They want guys to stay in their own brand. Is that going to stay that way for a long time or what?
I don't think so, Pedro. Honestly, I think that the only reason they're doing it, technically speaking, is because Strikeforce has a contract in place with Showtime Network. What I don't understand, though, is, and maybe you could clarify this for me, but if Strikeforce is under the Zuffa brand, what difference does it make whether or not it's Strikeforce or the UFC? If the UFC decides to absorb Strikeforce, inevitably, which I think will happen, as long as Showtime is getting MMA on their network, wouldn't they be happy or satisfied with it? That's the way I look at it. I think in due time, just like what happened when the World Extreme Cage Fighting was under the Zuffa banner, after a period of time, the brand will be absorbed and all fighters on their roster will be under one umbrella.
You know, switching subjects a little bit, I was reading the story of Chris and Nancy. It's a book on Chris Benoit and his wife Nancy, and of course how he, Chris Benoit, the former professional wrestling champion of the WWE, at the age of 44 years ago this past July, killed his wife, his child, and then hung himself. This is from repeated concussions. They said he had the brain of an 85-year-old man. Of course, his big move was jumping off the top rope and landing with a headbutt on somebody else's head, which in time I think would add up to some residual effects from concussions, and obviously it did. But we talked about that last week, this happening in all contact sports. So now we can add pro wrestling there. So pro wrestling, the NFL, MMA, and boxing. Are all these sports in danger of being canceled or being put away or being nullified or being modified greatly?
Modified greatly, I would say yes. As far as being canceled or put away, sadly, and I only say sadly because, the injuries that are susceptible to the participants themselves, but as far as fans are concerned, I don't want to see the put away. But unfortunately, I don't think that will happen because of the money involved. And that's in all these sports, whether it's the combat sports that you mentioned or contact sports such as pro football or hockey, for example. The money that's generated as far as, fans are concerned and these athletes, no, I don't think there'll ever be an end to it. But as far as modification, they're constantly, especially right now with the NFL, for example, they're constantly trying to innovate and look for new ways. They're instilling rules all the time, regulations, trying to protect the players as much as possible. I don't know what we can do in terms of boxing and MMA. Sure, you could try to alleviate certain, for example, unlike pride rules back in the day in Japan where fighters could get stomped or kicked while they were on the ground, you can't do that in the UFC or in MMA inside the United States. So, and you can't, knee an opponent once they're down or on their knees. No headshots. So I think they're trying to alleviate the problem, trying to look at the best ways possible. I will say this much in terms of MMA. One thing is for sure. When a fighter's in trouble, the referee is quick to jump in. As far as boxing is concerned, I think it needs to be addressed a little bit more, the whole issue with the standing eight count. I understand that you're trying to give a fighter the benefit of the doubt and give a chance, but when a fighter is knocked down, I think a referee really, really needs to look at him a lot more closely when they're giving him that standing eight count. I think that whole standing eight count issue needs to be addressed, to be quite honest.
Okay, when you look at the standing eight count and the fact that boxers seem to suffer 20% of 20%, about 20% of boxers involved in professional boxing matches in the state of Nevada from the year 2000 to 2006, I believe, suffer concussions, which are brain bleeds. But yet only 2% of the MMA fighters suffer concussions, 1.9% to be exact. Why do you think that is?
I think it's two reasons. First of all, in MMA, when a fighter's in trouble, the referee has the power to stop the fight, and one of the criteria they use is is the opponent intelligently defending themselves. Once the referee determines that's not the case, he automatically will jump in and stop the fight. If a fighter gets knocked down, sometimes they don't even wait for the other fighter to pounce on him. They look at the fighter. They see he's in trouble. They wave it off immediately. The other thing is, unlike boxing, and it goes back to what we were just discussing, a fighter gets knocked down. The referee makes the determination whether or not he can continue, but a lot of times he'll give him the standing eight count. The boxer himself, as long as he's somewhat coherent, and we've discussed this, a fighter innately will want to continue. You have to pretty much make that determination for the fighter to stop. If you give a fighter an alternative, a true fighter will always say, I can continue, I can continue. It's embedded in them.
Okay, I understand that. Sammy, I got to run. I got this quick thing. I got 5 seconds. MTV2 tonight, Bellator?
Yes, Bellator featherweight semifinals. And that starts at 9 p.m. Eastern.
I got to run, Sam. Thanks for the call. I love you, man. Just talking to Slammy Perez. You tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Whether you live in the San Francisco Bay Area or you're visiting for business or pleasure, if you crave fine Mexican cuisine, Don Pico's Original Mexican Bistro, located at 461 El Camino in San Bruno, California, is the only place to go. With award-winning chef Isaac Mejia in charge, Don Pico's is without a doubt both a customer and food critic's dream. With organic recipes highlighted by Neiman Ranch meats and five-star service, Don Pico's Original Mexican Bistro has no peers. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Don Pico's Original Mexican Bistro can be contacted by phone for a party or special events catering at 650-589-1163 or check out their website at donpicosbistro.com. The critics, customers, Yelp, and Google all rate Don Pico's Original Mexican Bistro numero uno. Find out why. For more information, go to their website, www.donpicosbistro.com, or call 650-589-1163.
When famous people or regular folks are in San Francisco, they all go to one place when they want great ribs. It's the Famous Rib Shack in San Bruno, California. With an organic array of ribs, meats, and chicken, the world-famous Rib Shack, located at 223 El Camino Real, that's a half mile south of Highway 380 in San Bruno, is where the president and his crew eat. And anytime baseball legend Dusty Baker is in town, he too makes sure that the Famous Rib Shack is on his agenda. And when we throw a party here at the Sports Byline Studios, the Famous Rib Shack has supplied us with the world's best ribs. You can order online anytime at FamousRibShack.com or give them a call at 650-952-2809. Now remember, you don't have to be the president to get the best ribs in the world. Just stop by the Famous Rib Shack at 223 El Camino in San Bruno. Check out the FamousRibShack.com website. The Famous Rib Shack, San Bruno, California, a proud sponsor of Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Before I get back to kicking A, don't forget the website, folks, 24/7 on the web at ringtalk.com, your inside look into the world of boxing.
Today, security is paramount. Now, with that being the way of the world in 2011, Baystar Security Patrol is your security specialist. Whether you need one guard or 50, Baystar Security Patrol CEO Mike Chandra, a 30-year police veteran, is without question the man to call. Be it one-time events or the full-time services of Baystar Security Patrol 24/7, they're available to serve you with a staff of highly competent and well-trained security professionals. Baystar Security Patrol has plainclothes officers available for events. Baystar Security Patrol can be contacted by telephone at 650-259-7661 or go to the internet at baystarpatrol.com. When it comes to your safety, be it your own, your family, or your customers and clients, you want the best available, and that's Baystar Security Patrol. 650-259-7661. Baystarpatrol.com.
Joe, I know you don't like to talk in a moment like this, but you're getting $2.5 million. Will that make any difference in the way you're going to fight?
Well, it gives me inspiration to do a little more, and go forward a little more, and I feel good about it.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
41 minutes past the hour. Interesting tidbit there from former heavyweight champion Smokin' Joe Frazier of Philadelphia, PA. I told you before, he charges for autographs. He's the only celebrity at the International Boxing Hall of Fame in Canasota, New York, that charges for autographs. Needless to say, there isn't a very long line to get Joe Frazier autographs, and that, you know, I think that's sort of his karma. You know, I mean, he made a lot of money boxing. Of course, he's very disheartened and bitter over the fact that Muhammad Ali is worth as much money as he did, and of course, he beat Ali in their first fight, the greatest fight of all time in March of 1971. I mean, that was it. Two undefeated heavyweight champions going at it for the heavyweight championship of the world in Madison Square Garden. Frank Sinatra was a ringside photographer for Life magazine. I mean, this thing was popping. That was the event, I think, of the century as far as sports was concerned. But the bottom line is Joe's disgruntled, always has been. I mean, and then Joe's had his share of drinking problems, too. I'm going to admit that on air. Of course, Joe pulled over driving down the wrong way on a one-way street down there in Philadelphia, and, of course, he refused to take his breathalyzer, and they booked for drunk driving. But then again, a jury or a judge decided to throw the charges out. Why? Because he's smoking Joe Frazier. So there you have it, Joe Frazier in a nutshell. But I think one of the funniest things I've ever experienced in Joe Frazier when he was working with Von Bean, and he was in Von Bean's corner along with Butch Lewis when they fought Evander Holyfield in Atlanta. That was about 10 or 15 years ago. And Joe and Butch both had a few drinks. They were both, you know, pretty well smashed, and they were screaming obscenities in the corner and things like that. And so Joe was acting a fool. And then, of course, a few years later, Joe might have had a few drinks in him. He never admitted to having a few drinks in him, but he was mowing his lawn with a power lawnmower and pulled the lawnmower back over his foot and chopped off two toes. So you tell me, was he drunk or not? You be the judge on that one. Anyway, guess what? Kimbo Slice, remember him? Yeah, the backyard brawler who made his reputation on YouTube, you know, beating guys up in the backyard and in the street and this and that. Then he made a run for it in professional MMA. Of course, he was part of a couple of organizations. Then he went to the UFC and he got gangster slapped a couple of times. Anyway, he was done with the UFC as far as Dana White was concerned. Anyway, earlier this week, my guy, Professor Chuck Marbury, wrote a story. It's called P.T. Barnum. Don't blame P.T. Barnum for Kimbo Slice. In other words, there's a sucker born every minute. Turns out it was a banker named David Hanum who uttered those famous words. Anyway, Kimbo's going to go August 13th at the Buffalo Run Casino in Miami, Oklahoma. Of course, that's run by the boxing promoter Tony Holden. And they'll team up with Gary Shaw and put this fight together against some guy named Wade from Missouri that's 0-1. Couldn't lick a stamp if you wet his tongue. But the bottom line is Kimbo Slice, the brawler that he is, will make his now living or try to make a living in the world of professional boxing after failed both in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. So he failed in both regards there. There's a cancer growing on the presidency. Of course, that's what John Dean said when he addressed the Watergate committee back in the early 1970s. Of course, that was the scandal, the Watergate scandal, led to the resignation of President Richard Nixon, our 37th president of the United States. Anyway, I think there's a cancer growing on HBO boxing, and I've been saying this for a long time. In getting rid of Ross Greenberg this past week and a half, I mean, that's great. Ross has got a golden parachute he can, you know, sort of fly out of the sky with. He'll spend more money or get more money than any of us will ever dream of for the time he put in at HBO, and he did a good job as the executive producer. I mean, some of those baseball specials he put together on the Black Sox and on Willie Mays and things like that, I mean, those are classic, epic sports documentaries. But as far as his attention towards boxing, he let Kerry Davis take care of that, and Kerry Davis ran the ship ashore, okay? And the bottom line is HBO's ratings have dropped. The number of subscribers wanting boxing on HBO have dropped. Showtime's, their numbers have actually increased. ESPN2, they stay about the same. And the bottom line is, I think, is the internet starting to take over as far as boxing is concerned, because a lot of people tonight will go to sites like Justin.tv and different sites around the world. They'll go to Yahoo.com and pull up like the Manila Yahoo, the Philippine Yahoo, or the UK Yahoo, and they'll watch the fight between Amir Khan and Zab Judah live on the internet, maybe in English, maybe in another foreign language. But the fact is, they get to watch it live via streaming video on the internet, and they don't have to pay for it. So, you know, HBO sort of shot themselves in the foot here by bringing in this guy, Kerry Davis, 11 years ago, when Lou DiBella stepped out as vice president. It was sort of pushed out. Anyway, that's a story for another day. But the bottom line is this incestuous relationship he's had with Al Haymon, boxing manager Al Haymon, we discussed that earlier with Kevin Perry, has just ruined HBO boxing. It just ruined it. I mean, he's given guys like Andre Berto multi-million dollar purses, this and that. Berto's a B-plus fighter at best. I mean, I think he showed that in the fact that Victor Ortiz licked him like a stamp, okay? So he's not worth the money. But why did he get the money? Because he was connected with Al Haymon. In fact, I've had guys come to me, one Texas manager in particular, come to me and say, hey, Pedro, do you think I should get a hold of Big Al and give him 10%? Because that's what Al wants, 10 points, which is in the boxing vernacular is 10% of the fighter. And if you give him 10%, he'll get your fighter, if he's worthy, on HBO. Or if he's not worthy, he'll get him on HBO. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, this incestuous relationship between these two men, Kerry Davis, the vice president of HBO, and boxing manager Al Haymon, has totally ruined HBO boxing, in my mind, okay? Now, Ross Greenberg got the axe for that. They're trying to say that he got blamed for the fact that Manny Pacquiao took a hike and went to Showtime. Well, that had a lot to do with the fact that Kerry Davis signed an exclusive agreement with Golden Boy Promotions, or Oscar De La Hoya's promotional company down there in Southern California, and they air a lot of their fights. And Bob Arum didn't like that. Bob wanted the open market, and the open market wasn't there anymore because it looked like Al Haymon and Golden Boy had taken over HBO. So Bob said, you know what? I'm taking the biggest star in boxing, and I'm going to Showtime. So he went to Showtime pay-per-view, and they did 1.3 million homes with the Shane Mosley fight in May. So, I mean, that's more than a success, no doubt about it. Like at $60 a pop, figure it out, they made about $35 million as far as the pay-per-view is concerned. I'm talking about the promoter himself, and of course Manny ended up making 20. But the bottom line is they split the money in half. If $60 comes in on a pay-per-view, the cable company takes 30, and the fighter and the promoter get the other 30. And how they split that up, that depends on the situation. Now, Manny Pacquiao allegedly made $20 million for this fight. So I say to myself, if he's making $20 million for fighting guys like Shane Mosley, who barely have a pulse at this point in time at the age of 40, and guys like Antonio Margarito, who don't belong in the ring with him, nothing but really a Mexican brawler at best, okay? And then, of course, Joshua Clotty, the guy from Ghana, who should have been stoned when he went home by his countrymen for not even trying, and said he took his million-dollar purse home and smiled and laughed all the way to the bank. I mean, three fights in a row, Manny's made about $20 million each. So you can see why he doesn't want to fight Floyd Mayweather. I mean, you can just see it. I mean, I can see it. I can figure it out. Why would I want to fight Floyd Mayweather for $35 or $40 million if I can make $20 million fighting these hobos? I mean, that's just the way it is. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide. We do have open phone lines coast to coast, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You're tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live worldwide. Of course, we're here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time. Before I get out here, I want to say hello to Lisa down there in Florida. God, we miss you. And she was here with us for about 6 weeks, and she's no longer in the studio, and she's missed greatly by the entire clan here. So we miss Lisa, and we want to say kisses to her. And you're tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529.
Smart investors pay attention to contrarian views. Barron's gives investors the perspective they need to anticipate the market's twists and turns and find profitable opportunities along the way. Barron's provides the investing ideas and insights you need to protect and grow your portfolio. It offers in-depth coverage and analysis of sectors and companies. And Barron's columnists cover all the market's action, so you'll know what happened and why, and be prepared for what's to come. Barron's delivers strategic thinking and practical ideas to help you make smarter decisions about when, where, and how to invest. And for intraday market analysis, there's Barron's.com, offering powerful investment tools like Stock Screener and Stock Grader. Get 8 weeks of Barron's plus Barron's.com, all for only $19.95. This offer is available to new subscribers in the contiguous U.S. only.
Call now toll-free 800-356-9700. That's 800-356-9700 for Barron's. See what others don't.
Smart Money is searching for true investment value today, whether in stocks, commodities, bonds, or real estate. But only one asset class is up fourfold over the last decade, precious metals. Best of all, today gold and silver are still undervalued from a long-term inflation and historical basis. But before you jump into the best assets of the 21st century, get educated by the gold experts at Swiss America. For three decades, their motto has simply been, "In serving, we lead." Their prices are fair, resources are great, and service impeccable. Yes, Smart Money is going for gold and going with Swiss America. Lift your gold IQ right now. Call toll-free 800-932-5197. That's 800-932-5197 for their 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report. Call 800-932-5197 today.
Do you think a career in the sports industry would be your dream job, but you're not sure how to break in? From prospective students looking to earn a degree in the field, to entry-level positions, to seasoned top-level executives in the industry, NextStepAthletics.com has all you will ever need to be successful. Whether you're a high school student looking for a university that offers a sports management curriculum, or maybe a college student looking for that great summer internship opportunity, we're the place to go. You see, Next Step Athletics is the only all-in-one resource for the sports industry. Become a member for free today and take advantage of all NextStepAthletics.com has to offer. We're hosting the only one-stop shop for all levels of sports professionals, from sports-specific jobs, education, networking, events, message boards, and much, much more. We have it all at NextStepAthletics.com. You see, the only way to stay one step ahead in the sports industry is to take the next step, and that's with NextStepAthletics.com.
The fantastic voice of Lenny Williams, of course, a Bay Area celebrity, a worldwide celebrity, a platinum recording artist. And, of course, tomorrow we've got a celebrity event, a charity event going on in Oakland, California. Lenny, how are you this morning, sir?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good here, man. Looking at your website here, looking at all these old pictures and stuff like that, sort of cracks me up, that picture of you, Michael Jeffries, and Rick Stevens all together, all three former lead singers of Tower of Power. How'd that picture come together?
Well, we went up to Vacaville prison there, to the prison there, and Rick, you know, he's incarcerated there, and we went up there to do a musical program, and the warden let Rick come out and take a picture with us, and so there you have it. Yes,
Wow. You think Rick will ever get out?
I don't think so. I don't know. I know he's trying, and I just wrote a letter to the warden here a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's trying really hard, but I guess the family of the guys that were murdered, you know, they're you know, they don't want him out, and you know, so I guess that plays heavily on the you know, parole board. You know,
what people don't realize is that he recorded most of that third album, Tower of Power, and then he sort of disappeared. He was on heroin, and then you took over as lead singer of Tower of Power, and then he went off with Brass Horizons, that musical group locally. And then, of course, he got involved in a double murder where he murdered some heroin dealers. They had ripped him off. And then during his state of paranoia, he murdered his best friend. So that's that best friend murders one. That's the one that's keeping him in the slam.
So it's a tough situation. And, you know, I can see both sides of it, you know, but you know, we just wish Rick a lot of, you know, a lot of love. He's changed his life. You know, he's accepted Christ in his life, and he does a good work up there with the prison ministry and also with the senior ministry, helping you know, senior prisoners and things like that. So he's done a good work up there.
Okay, so tell me about tomorrow. You're doing this charity event in Oakland. You do it once a year. Talk to me about that.
Well, actually, you know, it's on the 31st. So
31st,
actually,
okay.
Yeah, so it's next Sunday. Yeah,
next
right,
Sunday.
So it's next Sunday. So we're a week ahead. But, yeah, so we go out and we go in the community. Desley Brooks, who's the city councilwoman there for her district, I think it's District 4. She has a concert series, and she's had me there for the last 6 years. And, you know, a lot of people there, you know, they're struggling with the economic crisis, and they can't really afford to go to concerts. So she gets a top-name artist to come in, and they do shows, and, you know, people can come, and they can come for free. So we'll be there at a Royal Park there. I used to go over there all the time. Matter of fact, my good friend Robert Garcia, the first time I beat him playing basketball was over there. He won't like to hear that, but I was hustling around, and I wound up beating him by 1 point, and I tease him to this day about that, yes. So
okay.
Right there in the middle of East Oakland, yes.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I saw you above the Century Theater on Market Street, and you put forth one of the greatest shows I think you've ever put forth in your entire life, and I've been watching now since 1972 or 1973. Lenny, how can you rekindle the magic? How can you keep this magic going for so long? I mean, because I'll tell you, the other night, it was over the top.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, just trying to stay relevant. You know, I try to hang out with, you know, younger people, you know, get on YouTube now, and I watch a lot of the older artists. I watch Jackie Wilson, and I watch, you know, Frank Sinatra and James Brown, and watch some of the things that they did and how they entertained the audience and things like that. And I'm just trying to, you know, get a little bit from each person and you know, put it all together and repackage it as Lenny Williams. And plus, I'm singing some great songs, you know, So Very Hard to Go, Still a Young Man, What Is Hip, Cause I Love You, Don't Make Me Wait for Love, which I did with Kenny G. So, you know, singing some great songs, too, so that always helps.
Okay. Now, your former bandmates, Tower of Power, they're still hitting the road, and they were in Europe and in Italy and the Netherlands and this and that, and, you know, they're a traveling band. Lenny, do you travel as much as they do?
Well, I travel every week just about. I'm always going somewhere, but it's more controlled. You know, I mean, so I'm at home during the week, and then on the weekends, you know, Friday night or Thursday night, I head out and I do one show a week or sometimes two. Every now and then I'll do three shows on a weekend. And then so it's kind of controlled, whereas if I was in the band, because the band of that size, you know, necessity dictates that you have to be traveling a lot. And so, you know, you going to Europe and stuff, you don't just go over there and come back tomorrow. You know, you go and you stay 3 weeks or 4 weeks and things of that nature. So at this point in my life, I'm not really up for that. Maybe, you know, once every couple of years or something like that. But so I travel a lot, but it's under controlled circumstances.
So it's going to be at Royal Park the 31st. You'll be doing this what time?
I think we go on at 4 o'clock, but it's an all-day event. They're going to have some other bands there. I think they start about 1 or 2 o'clock. And so they'll have other bands there. We'll be going about 4 o'clock and have a great time. You know, I know a lot of people, you think of just East Oakland, they get a little apprehensive. But, you know, they have, you know, the police officers there. And you know, people just come out. It's a family event. People come out and they bring their picnic baskets, and they just have a good time. And like I said, I've been doing it for 6 years, and it's all been, you know, uneventful in terms of any negativity. And, you know, just great music and just people enjoying it. And if anybody, you know, wants to see a concert and don't want to pay any money, come on out and have a good time.
Okay, before I let you go, I want to thank you for all the work you've done in the community over the years with amateur boxing, Ben Batista, and things like that. And, man, I wish you the best of luck next week and continued success in the future. Say hello to your lovely wife for me, Lenny.
Most definitely. Thank you, Pedro. We appreciate you. All right.
Folks, this is Lenny Williams singing one of his very, very big hits. I'm talking about So Very Hard to Go, and for me, it is So Very Hard to Go. Until next week, keep your hands up, keep your chin down, but most importantly, I got a couple uncles in hospice, so I'm hoping that they do well as well. Until next week, much love, much respect. This is Pedro Fernandez.
Don't forget to visit one or all of our fine local advertisers the next time you're in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's right. Go to ringtalk.com to find out more about all of them. And hey, if you have a business and you like to advertise on Ring Talk in your town, send me an email, ringtalk@yahoo.com.